on desires. And, you know, when you desire to go one way and God wakes you up at 5:45 in the morning after you went to bed at 12:30 that night, and you go, you need to go another direction. It is always so much better when you tear out 3/4 of your message and, you know, be obedient. So I'm actually very excited about what direction we're going. You know, as kids are going downstairs, you know, it's really interesting. Kids are really good about honestly telling you their real desires. So if you ask a kid what they want for their birthday or for Christmas or their graduation present, they're not going to hold back. They're gonna tell you they want the coolest. Nowadays, like, sneakers are so expensive. I'm now middle-aged, so I think like this now. You know, if it's a teen, they're going to tell you exactly what midnight blue Wrangler that they want, or a sports car. Or if you're, in my family, if you ask Zeke what he wants for dinner, he always has pizza. Actually, I think most of us adults are quite happy when it's always pizza, right? You ask him what they want to do, they're just gone. They're going to blurt it out. Hershey Park, Disney, they want to go to Bounce House. And the Bible does say to come to him like a child, right? Just be honest about what's really in your heart, what your desires are. And you know, kids have great faith, but we want to talk today about this other balance. I want to bring some balance into some desires right now, because not all the desires in our heart are God-given or in the right priority, right? God does place some beautiful desires in our heart, and not to be a burden to us, but to reflect his creativity and his purpose and the fact that we will need him to fulfill some of those desires. My goodness, if you heard, that was when Heather was talking to me during this whole process, her and Glenn were praying about things, and it was just a God thing, but how's it going to happen? You know, it was constantly surrendering it. Like, if you talk to Heather, she would always be laying at, Lord, if this is what you have for me, but she needed him, and man, God's getting so much glory, right? So I wanted you to think about some of the desires in your heart, and we're probably all in different places in those desires. You know, some of you might currently be in a season where you are experiencing those desires coming to fruition. Others of you are thinking, I was in a really good place where I've seen these desires come to pass, but the twists and turns of life, sometimes those desires are stolen or diminished. And sometimes in those circumstances, we can get discouraged. But today is about discerning these desires. So desires are often planted into our heart by God when we are born. So Jeremiah 1 verse 5 says this, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God knows you better than anyone else on this planet. And before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. Let's see, Psalms 139 verse 16. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. So God is reminding us he has purposes that he's placed in our heart before we're even born. Now let's talk about discerning some of these desires. Because like I said, we're trying to discern what is a God thing and what things are just a little bit out of order. We talked about idolatry last week. So some desires, I'll say this, are like a fire, and I'm not going to go down the obvious path of a youth pastor on this one, but we know that certain desires are a fire, and they're good to be in the fireplace, right? But wisdom gives you some boundaries, and when these desires get outside the boundaries of where they're originally intended to be, it can be a wildfire that can do a lot of damage in our lives. And sometimes our desires, when they're outside the bounds of the word of God and what God has created these things for, or he wants to be first, our desires, when they get out of bounds, they become misused, abused. Sometimes they can come perverted, right? And what we think sometimes are a desire that's going to fulfill our heart is normally just a temporary patch for a place in our heart that only the Lord can fill. And God wants our desires to grow within the bounds of God's word, right? Otherwise, they're going to become a distraction to us. Otherwise, they can get us off track from his purposes and his heart. Sometimes they can be a good thing, but it's not a God thing. And we miss divine appointments of what God is, people that he's bringing into our life, or opportunities he's bringing into his life for his glory, right? So the key is learning to align our desires with God's heart. Because true joy and fulfillment is found when our desires align with God's desires, right? And only he knows. We think we know what's going to fill us. We think we know what's best for us. How many people, like, being adult is we think we know what's best for us. Being a kid is we think we know what's best for us, right? And we have to often lay these things down because only the Lord God, our Heavenly Father, our Creator, knows how he wired us, what truly will. All right, so here's our key scripture, and we're going to take a really fun detour because I was obedient to the Lord at 5:45 this morning. Psalms 37, 1 through 4. This is the Amplified. It says this, very known scripture, and sometimes we just skim read it, right? Oh, I like that one. Amen. All right, it says this, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Is it good that God has put us in this on this earth to have adventures and enjoy life, to rest, to be with people? It's beautiful. Look at the Garden of Eden, right? And then it says this. This is the key. Take delight in the Lord. Everybody repeat after me. Take delight in the Lord. Does it say take delight in your desires? Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. This is written by King David. Now, King David, I think, knew a thing or two about hard times. He knew a thing or two about sticking with God when nothing was going his way. You know that song, and everything's going my way. Majority of David's life, nothing was going his way. But he learned to not be a fair weather friend. And he would pursue the Lord. And he realized, and when you read these Psalms, the Lord was the greatest desire, because when our lives align with him, peace comes in like a flood, right? There's just, and you can't put a price on peace. So David is reflecting on things that he has proven, and this is written later on in his life, that he has seen and learned specifically that when he aligned the desires of his heart with God's plans and purposes, when he delighted in the Lord, certain desires that the Lord had placed in his heart came to fruition. Now, this is where, now I'm going to teach some theology. Everybody ready to use your brain a little bit? Don't you love when people misquote scriptures for their own agenda? Okay, we're going to do a kind of, I was obedient to the Lord. I kept hearing blank check. And I was like, okay, Lord, we're going to do this. So we're going to take some scripture that people take out of context. And I want you to say this. We're just pray this. Holy Spirit, I thank you for just revelation of your word. Jesus, your heart, your ways, reveal your heart. Reveal your ways to us, Lord. Moses knew the ways of the Lord. He knew the heart of the Lord. The others were just fair weather friends, and they just knew what he did. Lord, we want to know your ways. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So some people misinterpret the scripture. What's it say? Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So oftentimes we misinterpret this as a blank check. Now, I am 44 years old. I'm turning 45 in December. I remember in fifth grade, my dad took me to what used to be People's Bank. You remember? We had a little neighborhood bank, and he signed me up for a bank account and got me a checkbook, and I thought I was the coolest kid. I got a checkbook. Anybody still use a checkbook? We still do. We still do. Yes. Okay. All right. So it feels like you're getting a blank check. A blank check for some people that don't use checks all the time is a promissory note that once that thing is signed, that's good to go to the bank, and you can get pretty much everything out of the bank account, right? So sometimes we misinterpret this scripture as a blank check for selfish reasons, and we interpret it what? Delight myself in my desires, and he will give you whatever you want. Has anybody heard some gospels that kind of were like that? It was all about the stuff. It's about the blesser who gives the blessing, but it's about the blesser. The blessings give glory to the Lord, right? All right. So we're going to talk about some keys to unlocking the desires of our heart. And it's not found in dreaming and wishing or confessing or declaring a scripture 100 times till you get what you want. Follow where I'm going here, right? Okay. It's about the place of where you put, where? Everybody say, where do you put your desires? It says here, when I delight myself in him, when he is my greatest desires, he causes the desires that he has placed in my heart that are aligned with his heart to come into fruition, and he gets glory. Because don't you know, a good father loves blessing his kid, but he's not going to bless his kid with something that's going to hurt his kid. Come on, when you're a teenager, you go, hey, what do you want for Christmas? I want a brand new sports car that goes 0 to 120 and like this. You know, that's good, but are you going to give them that right away? Because they could hurt themselves. They could hurt other people, right? Okay. Sometimes you have to trust God's timing, that he knows, and really, is that sports are really going to fulfill you? Think about things. Okay. It's where we place our delight, all right? So, all of us carry desires in our hearts. Some are God-given, some are healthy, some are unhealthy. And how many people know this? Whether it's healthy or not, last week we talked about idols. There are healthy idols, and there are unhealthy idols. But anything that comes before the Lord has the ability to get us off track. What happens when you get off track and you drive really fast? Come on, you normally wreck, you mess up your car, you hit some bumps, okay? All right. So to not go back and listen to last week, it was challenging. I was having to clean up my life. 1 John 5:21 Amplified says this, keep yourselves from idols, false gods. By definition, it says this, from anything and everything that would occupy the place in your heart, the first place in your heart due to God, and from any sort of substitute for him that would take first place in your life. Okay. Now putting that aside, let's search your heart right now. Everybody close your eyes. Let's just get quiet. Let's get real with God. Because remember, you know, kids, they're going to really tell you what their heart's desire is. And we're supposed to come to God like a child. So this is between you and the Lord. Don't say it out loud. So let's be honest. Let's think of something real. What is a deep desire in your heart right now? Maybe it's something you haven't said out loud for years, but just between you and the Lord. And these are some good things. You know, maybe it's to be debt-free. Maybe it's to finish your degree or to be married or actually have a best friend that really actually has your back. Become a parent. Maybe to have all of your children sitting beside you at church. Maybe to feel appreciated and fulfilled at your job. Maybe to start your own successful business. Or maybe just to start enjoying life again. These are desires. I don't know. This is between you and the Lord. What desires are deep in your heart? You know, the Lord has put some beautiful desires in our hearts, and a lot of it is just making some chiropractic adjustments to realign it with his desires. Are ready for this? To put him first. What does it say? Seek him first, the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God first and all of his righteousness, and then these things will be added, right? So it's really about getting the order. All right, you guys can open your eyes if they aren't already. So the clearest way we can tell how our relationship with God is doing is this, okay? It isn't where it, how would you say this? When you know things are out of order, when things are out of order, out of alignment, right? Come on, when your back's out of alignment, you have pain. When things are out of order, you know, like you're walking funny. You know, when you wake up, you slept funny and you're kind of walking funny, okay? How do we know something's off in our desires, right? How do we know we have a red flag on the football field of dreams? Okay, I'm going to throw some things out here. So think about a marriage, okay? When your desires are more to be at the football game or at the nail salon or at hunt or work, or you'd rather be scrolling on your phone on your date than talking to your spouse. Real talk. When we'd rather be hanging out with our friends and our spouse, that's probably something that says our desires are a little out of whack, right? There's something wrong in the relationship. And if that's in a case where you're at, please go to a counselor and please start dating your spouse. I want to say this, and if you can't afford to date your spouse, guess what? Dates are free. Did you know you can have a free date with your spouse? You can hold their hand and go for a drive. And if gas is expensive, you can hold their hand and go for a walk. And if walking's hard, you can just hold their hand and sit on the front porch and just be present, right? And even just in a friendship, right? Some things start to drift in dangerous places, right? When we want to be, a red flag on the football field of dreams is when I want to be somewhere else or with someone else other than my best friend or my spouse. And that's when we go, ooh, I think we need to get some things in order, right? So God wants to give us the godly desires of our heart, but he wants to make sure the order's right. He wants to be your first desire. So if we chase desires without delighting in the Lord, we'll always end up empty. And if we delight in him, this amazing thing happens. The desires begin to align with his will, his timing, his purposes. He starts to realign things. He starts shifting things in our hearts. You ever had something that you really felt was the biggest desire in your heart when you were 22 years old? And then when you're 32 years old, you realize it really wasn't what was going to fulfill me, you know? And when we align our hearts with him and put him first, sometimes we start arriving at these desires in our life. So it's not so much about what we put our desires on. It's where the order is. It's on him first, right? So the delight is my part. My delight, my job is to put my delight in him. My job is to put my delight on him. It's his job to navigate the desires of where they're supposed to be and when they're supposed to happen. And if not, to adjust them in our lives. All right, so I want to shift into something. We're going to probably camp out in John chapter 14 and 16. But here's my transitional thought. and the Lord woke me up. When we truly delight in the Lord, our desires don't just get fulfilled, they get transformed. When we truly delight in the Lord, our desires don't just get fulfilled, they get transformed. They become selfless. They start to give God glory. They start to point more to the blesser than the blessing. Isn't that great? I love how Heather said that. Hey, I want to praise the Lord. This gets God glory, right? When you've been praying for things. It's all about how where we point to things. All right. So in order for our desires to be transformed into God's desires for us, we need to deepen our friendship with the Lord. We need to deepen our friendship with Jesus. All right. So how many people know? I want you to think of a true friend. A true friend that's just really had your back through thick and thin. How many know true friends are not fair weather friends? True friends have been with you throughout all the hard times, the good or the bad, right? Come on. You know, you don't want that, or even like in a marriage, you know, you make these wedding vows ahead of time before you actually know what life's going to like throw at you. And how many people know life throws at you hard times? And you make this vow and you say, through thick and thin, better or worse, we're sticking it out together, right? Those are the vows the Lord wants you to make to him. He wants you to be all in, and then the adventure begins. We don't always find out what the adventure of life is going to take us. All right. So think about true friends. True friends, what do? True friends hang out with you regularly without an agenda. They don't hang out with you to get your stuff. They don't hang out with you so they can always borrow money from you, right? True friends just like hanging out. Okay, true friends get to know your heart, your ways, your passions, your desires. They get to know what makes you tick, all right? Now, I want to throw some things at you here. All right, so go on a journey with me, all right? Think about your true friends, your best family friends. Your best family friends are probably people you would entrust to guide, protect, and guard your kids. Think about that. They might even give, you have a neighbor that you give a key to your house or the code to your house when you leave town? We do. We have some wonderful neighbors that we, but you know, it takes a little time to find out if you can trust them with the keys to your house, with your children. Are ready for this? A blank check. Okay. God's not playing favorites. He just knows who can handle what. Follow me. All right, raise your hand if you remember Buck and Joanne Garber. Joanne was in heaven right now, and I love her, played a wonderful role in my life. Buck and Joanne, we got to know through our church and became very trusted friends of my parents to the point when they would go out of town on vacation, even out of country, they would come over to our house. Okay, they'd sleep in my parents' bed, right? Okay, and they were entrusted for wild children. Okay, and normally what was, I remember there's like, dad would put a little file together and, you know, write all these little notes. Is that you, Mom? You were the organized one, right? Okay, so Mom would put like the, you know, the folder together, and in there were specific instructions, right? And there was often money, what? To take care of the kids. And, you know, there was a time to bless the kids and have treats if you wanted to order pizza or do something fun. And this is before the day of you gave someone your credit card. I remember they left a blank check. You don't just, come on, for real, who do you give a blank check to? And what was the blank check for? If there was an emergency or a need to take care of the kids, the house, right? That's what it was given for. All right. Now, it took some time to earn that trust and that responsibility. So let's look at Jesus here, because I want to bridge this Old Testament scripture with the new. All right. So we're really camping out in John 14 through 16, but I want to hit a thought that is in John chapter 6, 66 through 69. So right at this point, Jesus has developed a very close relationship with his disciples. For 3.5 years, they are hanging out. They are doing pretty much everything together. And in that time of daily hanging out with Jesus, they're getting to know his heart and his ways. Right now, I'm studying the Gospels because I'm getting ready to do a series on the parables, the hard parables about the kingdom of God. And he gets to a point where he goes, hey, I don't have to tell you parables anymore. I'm going to straight shoot you, right? So how many people know the way you talk to your acquaintances at work is different than the way you talk to your best friends? How many people know if you're a business owner or a manager, the way you talk to your really, really close friend, best friend at work is different than you talk to, you know, what they call a rando or an acquaintance, somebody you like, you know, they're, you know what I mean? They get access to mysteries. They get access to the code on the door, right? They might get the keys to the building. Might get the company card, okay? So he is now spending 3.5 years, okay, pouring his heart out. And during this season, I don't remember if you remember this, Jesus started teaching some really hard things. You know, it was fun. It was popular to follow Jesus for a little bit. Well, number one, you got a free dinner, okay? You got to see, real talk, you know. I just actually was studying that this morning before I even adjusted my message. I was just spending time with him, and I was like, wow, you're just feeding people. They were there, a lot of people were there just for the entertainment. You know, demons were coming out, and, you know, people were getting set free, and you know, signs, wonders, miracles, and a free dinner. And back then, they couldn't just watch Netflix. It was entertaining to follow Jesus. It was popular. But when you study your Bible, the persecution started really coming in hard, and suddenly it wasn't popular. If you were following Jesus, your parents and family would put you out. Even your spouse could leave you. Come on. And he starts saying some very hard things. How many people know the Bible is filled with hard things? That you're like, ooh, that, you know, those are the ones we like to skip. We like to go, we like the one about desires. Oh, God, you're going to give me all the desires of my heart, but we forget about the part before of it. But we also forget all the things that Jesus said. And he said some hard things. He actually said some things, and if you don't take time to study it in context, you could take offense to it because you don't know the heart of God. So one of the things that he shared in John chapter 6, between 66 and 69, was like, hey, if you want to, you know, follow me, you got to eat my body and drink my blood. And we all go, all the Jews go, check, please. They're not even allowed to eat bacon. And you want to eat a body or what? What? So they got offended and they just left, right? Because they didn't know the ways and the heart of Jesus. And he was actually talking about communion. And if you really got to dig into that in my Blood Covenant series I did earlier this year of like how we were set up for communion from the very beginning, from the Garden of Eden. It's so cool. But they got offended, or it wasn't popular, and the persecution was setting in. And Jesus said to his disciples, he goes, hey, are you going to leave me too, like everyone else? All them fair weather friends, when the going got tough, they got going. He said, hey, are you going to leave me too? And his disciple, I love what he said. He said this, he said, where else am I going to go? Only you have the words of life. This is when you go, I am ruined. No matter how much life kicks me in the teeth. I've had some, come on, raise your hand if you've experienced some really heavy losses and hard trials that you just tested everything about your faith in Jesus, tested everything that you see Jesus doing. You're like, Jesus, I see you doing this, but I'm not experiencing this, but I'm sticking with you because you know what? When I hang out with you, I have peace. And that's priceless. So Jesus is now talking, John chapter 14 through 16. The context is all the fair weather friends bailed because life got hard and they got going. And it wasn't popular to follow Jesus. It's really not popular right now, especially in other countries, right? And he starts telling them some very significant, very profound things. And he actually mentions a blank check 4 times. So when you study the Bible, you should look at the context of what's going on in history, what's going on with the group of people he's talking to and who he's talking to. When he's talking about this blank check, he's talking to his inner circle of true followers, people that have his back through thick and thin, even when they don't understand. How many people have had to made a decision to follow Jesus, even though you don't understand, even when it was hard? That's a deep relationship. And we talk about marriage vows. Through sickness and health, thick and thin, I'm sticking with you. Where else am I going to go? You have the words of life. You are the only one that has the power to heal my heart. And these are the things he starts saying to them. That I would say this, immature Christians or fair weather friends like to misquote and use it for our agenda or our desires. Remember, when we delight ourselves in him, these desires he gives to us. But where are these desires? What desires is he talking about? Okay, John 15, verse 7. I encourage you to go study all this in context. Really dig in. John chapter 6 and John 14 through 16. So John 15, verse 7, Amplified Classic says this. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me. If you hang out with me because you just need me, I need Jesus. Every day I'm in a position in my life, I really need Jesus. I'm so in over my head. Come on, you're so far out walking on the water. You're so far out there that I just need Jesus to breathe. I'm all in. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you. That means I'm hanging out with your word. It's really good. I love listening to other people teach the word of God. I study online theology classes. I love to read. But how many people know we need to go right to the source of the word of God in context, right? And it says this, continue to live in your hearts. Okay, ready? So I'm going to read again. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me. That means white-knuckled holding on. You know, when you're just holding on, okay? My words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts. Now it says this. So it's an if and then statement. We studied this in Bible school. There's an if to the then. How do people know? There's conditions. But you ever have a kid and you're like, if you pass all your classes, then I will pay your insurance. Right? There's an if and the then. And they come to you and you're like, hey, you're going to get me that sports car and pay all my bills? And you're like, hey, do you remember the if? Okay, what's the if say? If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you, and continue to live in your hearts. What's it say this? Ask, here's the blank check. Ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. Blank check. All right, you guys baited? We're going to dig into this. Okay. John 16, 23 through 24. When something sticks out to you, you got to keep reading in context, right? It says this, at that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth, you will ask the Father directly, and he will grant your request because you use my name, because you know me. How people know the world uses Jesus' name as a cuss word? Satan himself believes in Jesus. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. Satan believes in him too, but he's not following him. At that time, you won't need to ask me anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly. Whoa, he got rid of the priest. He got rid of the middleman, right? Remember the Old Testament? The Old Testament, you had to like go in and we studied at the beginning of this year under the blood covenant, and they had to go in and do all these ceremonial washings. And if they accidentally, you know, touched the wrong person or, you know, whatever, then they got to go through all the washings again, had to wait. And then they had to get the sacrifice, get the special kind. They had to kill it a special way, and there's blood everywhere. It's just so complicated. You can just go right to the Father in the name of the Son. Wow, thank you. Right there, I'm going to start worshiping. Thank you, thank you. Come on. Brad and I were talking about the cost of cows. You know, if you ever want to buy a cow and put a freezer full of meat, it is expensive. And you had to give the whole cow. Man, all right, here we go. Ask the Father directly, and he will grant your request because you use my name. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. Blank check number two. He's emphasizing, like I said, for the sake of time, go back and read this in context. He is talking to an inner circle of true followers, not acquaintances, not they got the, you know, I'm a Christian t-shirt and really aren't following him. These are the people that are hanging out with the Lord every day, and he can trust their heart to ask things according to his will. Right? Okay. So why essentially did the disciples get a blank check four times? Why is he really emphasizing this? Timeline. He's in the last week of his life. He is about to go. It wasn't the vacation that my parents went on that they were going to be back in a week. He was about to physically go to heaven. And he wanted to make sure that his inner circle of best friends that were goofballs, come on, they weren't perfect, you know, that they knew God is entrusting you to take care of his kids and share about the kingdom of God, share about the business of the Lord. And I'm going to give to you all things that you need for life and godliness to take care of the kids and declare the gospel and take care of the family business. Interesting. the last week of his life, his reasons are being revealed in these final conversations. John 15:15, Berean Standard Version, I like this. It says this, "No longer do I call you servants or an employee," right? "For a master does not understand what his master is doing." New Living Translation, "Because a master does not confide in his servants. Now you are my friends, since I told you everything the Father told me." So I want you to think about a family business, right? Okay, so this term servant doesn't really kind of, you don't kind of get that in modern culture, but think of an employee, right? Servants only serve out of duty and obligation. It's their job. Employees that are not really close with the boss, right? You normally are just doing it because they paid you to do it, and your whole heart's not in it, and you're talking trash about the boss. I didn't get my, you know, my raise on time. And gosh, I can't believe, you know, did you see the bathrooms? You know, whatever. Okay. Complain about the free coffee. Okay. Servants serve out of duty and obligation, religious obligation. A friend serves out of love and devotion. I was talking with Mark Salman. We laugh while we put lids on the coffee. Because Mark and I are normally the people, yes, the pastor, we clean up the mess. Because Mark, we do it because we love this house. We love these people. Can I be real? I'm not bragging. I'm laughing because, like, Mom, we know. I've gone to the bathroom and there's problems in the bathroom. I'll leave it at that. And I'm just, where's the plunger? And I'm plunging the toilet 15 minutes before I preach. Listen, it is my greatest joy and honor because we are servants, right? And we don't complain about it. It's my greatest joy because this is the house. We want to take care of the house. We want to take care of God's family, right? There's a difference between servants and friends. Intimate friends of God passionately share the vision of the family business. Listen, if you have a friend that is a business owner, whether you work for them or not, when you know their heart and their passion, you can't help but tell people about your friend's business. Come on, hey, you got a car problem? You should send it to my friend. Man, they do such a good job. He will fix his car, your car, with honor and integrity. And you know what? He'll work really hard to find you a used part salvage yard. I was like Salvation Army. Sorry, guys. At the salvage yard. You know, they're going to do that for you. You should go to him. Here's his business card. Let me send you a link, right? Because they're my best friend. And I know their heart. I know their ways. And I'm going to share about the kingdom of God. We're going to go in. The parables are about the kingdom of God, God's rule and God's way of doing things here on earth as it is in heaven. He entrusted his friends the keys to the kingdom. Remember? Come on. My parents were leaving town. They gave Buck and Joanne the keys to the house. They opened up the house. Mikasa, Sukasa. Right? Here's a blank check. Here's some fun money. You know, take the kids and, you know, bless them. Love them. Get some pizza. You know, and you know, take care of their needs. All right. Servants don't truly understand the ways or the heart or the intentions of the boss, do they? If anything, they're just extra critical. And when things don't go their way, they just pout about it. I think God's mad at me. He doesn't like me. He didn't stop my cubicle and ask me how my day was. I'm leaving the church. I'm applying elsewhere. I'm mad at God. Come on, guys, right? Servants are also not concerned with the lasting legacy of the family business because we're in it for the stuff. I'm going to let things hang in the air because this is the balance to sometimes the messages that we've been taught out of context. And we throw out the fact that God wants to bless us. Oh my goodness, he does. He's a good father. He wants to make sure all your needs are met according to the riches we have in Christ Jesus. And he also wants to trust you enough with a blessing that you can bless other people. So the blessing doesn't stop with you or ruin you or make you selfish. Or, ready for this, the blessing that doesn't become a distraction or even worse yet, an idol to you that will steal your heart away and become another love to you.
Now, this tithing thing doesn't work. I didn't get my check in the mail. I've been living in the same house for 30 years. Brad and I, we moved 4 times in 3 months, and we're going, this is the house, our forever house. I'm done moving. I don't care. It's the smallest house in the neighborhood. I love it. It's not about the stuff, right? But you know, the great thing about a bigger house is you can host a grow group and get more people in there. The great thing about having a swimming pool is it's a great way to meet your neighbor and tell them about Jesus. The great way about a bass boat, yes, I worked in the bass boat fishing industry. There are a lot of people that will not come to your Bible study, but they'll go out in your bass boat with you. So share your testimony. Come on. Anytime, God, I will use this for your glory. Come on. All right, here we go. Let's go back to this blank check thing. Blank check, I think we're at number 4. John 15, verse 16. You didn't choose me. He's talking to his best friends. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. Blank check number 4. Woo. When he said this, he said, I want you to be fruitful. I want you to be blessed. I want you to have a legacy to your name. And wherever you go, preach the gospel, share about the family business. And don't do things out of obligation. Ugh. I can't believe the Lord is telling me to go sit in the break room next to that person. Negative Nancy. Wah, 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 wah. I've done this. I'm like, oh, I'm going to shower afterwards because it's not about us. Come on. It's about him. I can't believe the grow group is going to meet for 6 weeks on a Friday night. Ugh. It's okay. Just a challenge. You. Just come to 2 of them. Don't worry. It's fine. But maybe he's calling you to get to know some other people in the family business. Because you'll be able to share your needs and get real and honest and vulnerable with people in our prayers. And the Lord's going to use some other people to answer prayers in your life. What? Okay. So Jesus did not announce the blank check 4 times to all the fair weather friends. They had been cleaned out a long time ago. He did not announce the blank check to the crowd. Because you know what? You announce that to 5,000 people you just gave a free dinner to and a big entertainment show. They're like, heck yeah, I'll take the blank check. And it will ruin them. Come on. Get that fast car and drive really fast. All right. So Jesus chose a specific timing to this specific group. And you are qualified in Christ Jesus to be a friend of God. P.S. By the way, raise your hand if you gave your life to Jesus. He loves you, loves you, loves you, loves you, loves you. Even if you didn't give your life to Jesus, he loves you, loves you, loves you, loves you. But he doesn't want to give you something that's going to ruin you. Does that make sense? He wants to give you the things that you need, so all your needs will be met according to the riches we have in Christ Jesus. But he also wants to give you more than enough so you can be a conduit of answered prayer to other people on this earth. Wouldn't it be so great that if you have someone in this congregation paying about, maybe it's a cost to do an apprenticeship, and they just don't come from a family that can do that, or maybe to go to school, or they're just believing God for books, or they're believing God for a car. Wouldn't it be so great if you had more than enough that you could go do that and say, to God be the glory. Amen? All right. If you're walking close with God in your prayers, your requests and your prayers will selflessly reflect the heart of God and his interests. It's going to selflessly reflect the heart of Jesus. It's going to give him glory. When you hang out with the Lord and you become a friend of God, and it's not about the stuff, it's about the giver and just hanging out with, you know, his presence is the greatest present. His presence. I could ask for stuff and not have peace. You know, there's some of the richest people in the world and they have no peace and they're so tormented by it and they're just going through relationship for the relationship, relationship. It's not about the stuff. It's about him. His presence is the greatest present. But isn't it so great that he's such a good father and he's such a good friend that when we ask, when you really love someone, you're never going to ask for something that's dishonoring or inappropriate, right? Come on. Hear the heart of this. You're never going to abuse the power of a blank check. Buck and Joanne never abused the power of a blank check. They knew it was to take care of the family. Come on. And how many people know this? When you know the heart of the Lord, it's also to take care of people that aren't even in the family yet. Because it'll be a sign and a wonder that there's a good God out there. Reward and blessing is part of the relationship, but it's the foundation of it. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever comes near to him must necessarily believe that he exists and he is a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out. He is the reward. I'm seeking him. I'm seeking his face. I'm seeking his company, not just what's in his pocket and his hand and his checkbook. If you knew my pop-pop was Phil Cashman, but he is the most jovial, kind-hearted man. Man, he had just everyone was his favorite person. You've ever talked to him. You just felt like you were the center, and it was so sincere. He was just a joyful, loving person. Bear hug you. He's a very faithful friend. He was an encourager by nature, a storyteller. But you know, so interesting, a very generous person. And you know, when you're a little kid, you go, you know, sit next to Pop-Pop, and you know, he'd joke around you, and hey there, Tiger. That's why I named my kid Tiger. Jackson, and his nickname is Tiger. Hey there, Tiger. And you know what? He'd always reach in his pocket, and if there was a quarter or a mint, it would just naturally come, because it's just a heart to bless the people that just want to hang out with him, because they just want to hang out with you, right? All right. So I pose this, and this is the challenge, is, you know, there's the fair weather friend. Everything's going my way. I love hanging out with the Lord. I love reading my Bible. I like worshiping him up front when I'm having a good day, when things are going my way, when all of my prayers are answered in the timing. Oh, we're Americans. Everything's a drive-thru. I love it. I have two little kids. Anything that doesn't have a drive-thru, I was like, what's wrong with you? But hey, remember before the pandemic when nothing had a drive-thru? It has changed our culture of expectation. We're jerks now when we can't get something right away. Fairweather friends, it's all about me and my convenience, my way, my timing, because obviously I know what's best for me. We're kids. So I just challenge us, if we worship him when we feel like it, when everything's going our way, when we're spending time with him, when we feel like it, when everything's going our way, we are a shallow, fair-weathered friend. And even if you are, he doesn't want you to stay that way. But isn't it good to just be honest? And let's grow in our relationship with the Lord, because if we are pushing him away because we're going through a hard season, I think he deserves more than that, because he did die for us. So we could have peace. And yes, there's the other stuff too. Healing is so beautiful. Freedom is so beautiful. These are the great gifts, the finished work of the cross. But what does it say in Romans 12, 1 through 2? We're going to end there. We're going to end early. How about that? That all things are possible to him who believes. Amen. Glory to God. Stand up. Stand up. This is what happens. Lord, wake Pastor Sherry up at 5:45. No. Okay? Because we'll end early. I chopped out 3/4 of my message for another time. So what are my thoughts? The thoughts, remember? When you truly delight in the Lord, our desires don't just get fulfilled, but they get transformed. Amen? Selfless. They give glory to the Lord. So I had an acronym, which we're not going to do, for delight. Okay? You can put it up there. I don't know. Sound team, if you have time, you can put delight up there. Otherwise, I don't know if I'll even ever preach it. It'll be fine. I'll give it to my kid for his graduation present. Okay? We're going to end on scripture. Romans 12, 1 through 2. I beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, present your bodies. Amplified says this, dedicate all of yourself, set apart, set yourself apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational act of worship. All he wants is all of us. You know those wedding vows, through thick or thin, sickness and health, good times and bad times, he wants you all in, no matter what the adventure holds. You're normally just in the middle of the story. Giving your entire self, dedicating all of you to the Lord, is your reasonable act of worship. Why? Okay? Because he died for us. So it says this, do not be conformed to this world any longer in its superficial customs, values. Us Americans, guys, we live better than what? I don't even know the percentage of the people in the world that we have it so much better than. And we are complaining because everything's not going my way. It's our reasonable act of worship just to give ourselves to him daily. I'm telling you, it is a daily decision. D. What's my D stand for? D. Dedicate your entire life to God daily. It is a daily decision to get on the altar. And don't let the value system of this world put superficial expectations on God, okay? But be transformed by renewing your mind
And it says this, focusing on godly values so that you may prove for yourself what is the will of God, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect in his plan and purposes for you. So when we make a choice to daily surrender throughout the day, Jesus, I'm yours, I'm yours, I'm yours. I lay the burden at your feet. I lay the disappointments at your feet. I lay my frustrations because things are not going the way I wanted, because when I made my vows to you, I wanted things to go a particular way and it didn't go that way for me. But I'm going to be honest with you. Whew. I'm frustrated. I'm mad. I'm angry. I'm disappointed. Whew. Lay it down. And dig into the word of God and let his word wash over you and heal your heart. Surrender those disappointments to him. Surrender even the desires of your heart, even your delights. Maybe you're realizing I need to surrender some idols in my life because I'm out of order. I'm out of order. I've put people and things ahead of him. I'd rather be somewhere with someone else than hanging out with him. Guys, we're all working on it, myself included, every day. What I share, I said, you know, hey, I was really wrestling with family and children coming before the Lord. I have to lay that on the altar every day. So let's just start with surrender. I'm not doing an emotional moment. I'm just saying, let's just lay it out. Search my heart, oh God, if there's anything just out of order in my life, where it's about the stuff, or I'm just frustrated because I'm not getting my prayers answered the way I wanted and the timing I've wanted. I have to trust that your timing is perfect because you're never late, and maybe you're building some character in me to be able to handle those things. Or maybe you know when I get those things, it'll become an idol and a distraction to me and get me off course. Or maybe you are just stretching my faith muscles. And you might just have a moment like Heather, where you suddenly get 3 answered prayers in one day because you didn't quit. And I challenge you, get connected with people that will encourage you and hold your hands up and have honest conversations with you. You say, I'm mad. I'm mad at God. I'm frustrated. And they're not going to shame you. Don't. And they're just going to go, I'm just going to hold your hands up. And you know, we're just going to pray and we're just going to worship the Lord together because it's our reasonable form of sacrifice. We're just going to worship you. We just love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus, because you first loved us. Thank you for dying for me. And I just thank you ahead of time. Some of these desires in my heart, whether it be, like I said, be debt-free or just get a job that's more fulfilling. But really, Lord God, I thank you. Whether it's children, spouse, best friends, Lord, maybe just to actually be able to retire and go on vacation. All these desires, these are good things. These are God things. But Lord, I put you first. You satisfy me. We talked about this last week. You're enough for me, Jesus. I'm enough for you. You love me just as I am. But when we follow you, you don't leave us this way. We love you, Lord. We choose to put you first. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful afternoon. Young adults is for like the, you know, 20-ishes, and there's ish down and ish up. See you at Counselor Park. If we can pray for you, we would love to pray for you. If I can have some grow group leaders and ministry directors up here, have a wonderful afternoon.